The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
It's that time again where we welcome Nettie back to the show. And we actually missed you last month. You gallivanted off somewhere,
Did
you?
Did you miss me loads?
We missed you loads and loads and loads, Nettie. It's the lovely Annette Bunn from Rift Accounting. Joining us in the Counting House section of the Business Bunker show, a monthly section where Nettie introduces us to someone really, really interesting.
And important.
And important. And who talks a lot.
Just like me. We're great fun together. And we both drink gin.
Do you?
I think the listeners need to
We'll talk about that in a moment. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first of all, we missed you last month because you weren't here.
I wasn't here. I was in the Cotswolds.
We had Charlie here, didn't we?
Also known as Chris.
Yeah. Called him Charlie all the way through.
Well, Nettie sent me a message and she said, I won't be with you because I'm going away for a few days. So Chris will be here with the lovely
Justine Cullen,
who was fabulous, and Chris was fabulous too. But we missed Nettie. And then I found out where Nettie actually was and why she was actually away. It was on a hen weekend.
It was.
And she's been trying to not tell us.
Your hen weekend?
No.
Yeah.
I was ready for that then. I was going into deep interview mode then.
It was a very cultured weekend.
Of course it was.
We did, you know,
hiking,
landscape gardening for fun.
Painting.
Painted scenery.
Where in the Cotswolds did you actually go?
I have no idea. It was quite near a river in a big cottage with 18 other girls.
I saw Sharon Memphis.
She drank so much gin, she's no idea. She thinks it was a Cotswolds. Yeah.
That's definitely where the sat nav looked like it took me. No, I had a lovely, relaxing weekend, you know.
Good.
Not much went on. Nothing I'm sure share it didn't. On the radio.
And I'm sure you imbibed no gin whatsoever.
No. Purely tap water with ice.
Well, just before you introduce us to this month's guest, you mentioned your love of gin. So what is it? What's your favourite gin tipple? In Kent, we're blessed with a number of gin distillers, aren't we?
I like my Bombay.
Do you?
I do.
Yeah.
I make my own slow gin.
Do you?
I do. It's lethal.
Blimey.
Love it.
I have slows in my garden as well.
You?
Do you want to buy some?
No, I'll come and pick them. I'll give you a bottle of slow gin when I've made it.
Well, you know I don't drink, so that's not good, is it?
You can give it away.
Yeah,
good Christmas present, something like that.
Yeah, okay.
And then I make gin out of the slow gin. No, I make jam out of the slow gin bit left in.
No wonder you can't say it.
So,
slow gin jam, eh? That's not easy to say, is it? Especially after you've had a couple of slices.
Slow gin jam on scones, would recommend.
Really?
Absolutely amazing.
Cool. Sounds good.
But obviously, most of the time I'm a respectable business girl who does everything respectfully. Would that be fair? Absolutely.
Yes. I just wondered if you tried Copper Rivet gin.
No, I haven't.
Copper Rivet is made in a distillery in Medway. Down behind the dockyard behind Chatham Dockyard. Absolutely, the building itself is absolutely stunning. I've never tried the gin because I don't drink, but apparently people think the gin's brilliant too. But the building where they make it is wonderful.
Wow.
You can go visit it; it's fantastic. It's the old pumping station.
As you know, Paul, we are very fond of the Fruit Works in Canterbury.
Yeah,
being our offices.
Yeah.
But next day you've got the Foundry, and the Foundry just started doing their own as well, which I'm very
have they?
Very
well, their
fond
own gin.
Of that gin,
because they were making their own beer.
You and I should go and test that out.
I do believe that
that would be a good place.
Yeah, and support local business.
Absolutely. I'm all for that.
We've got a little event in Fruitworks on Thursday as well. We've got a little reception, which is going to be attended by the Lord Mayor. Which is for the winners of the Canterbury Business Awards.
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
so that's going to be cool.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we could just go to the place next door and drink.
Yeah, and just drink gin and heckle.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get back to business. Who have you bought us? As if we didn't know.
I've no idea who she is.
Yeah, she just followed you in.
I just rolled in.
Yeah.
She just
went, listen, she said,
I
was going somewhere, but my sat nav couldn't take me there, so I just dropped in here for a cup of coffee.
You know what? Every month I sit down and I think, who can I bring to the Business Bunker? Because I sort of quite pride myself on some rather different guests over the month.
Exactly, yeah.
And I do make a point of it. And like you said, last month you had Red Carpet Justine.
Yeah, and we did.
Which is always great fun to find out what's going on in her world. But this month, I've got Amy with me, and I think Amy Amy and Brad have built a brilliant business, and I've done a little bit of hand-holding along the way. But, you know, all credit to these guys, what they've done and what they've achieved. And I think, you know, Amy, you work on the circuit and do speaking gigs and all sorts now, but if you compare that with what you were doing probably 2-3 years ago in speaking gigs and how you've grown. So, you know, I don't often bring guests back, but actually Amy's got a new story each time, so it's almost like you start again and you do it fresh again. And she loves gin, so it's
absolutely. So what's not to like? What's not like to like?
So I brought girl I found in the corridor called Amy McManus with me.
Fantastic.
All right, love.
Want to go on the radio? All right. Yes, let's go.
And all joking aside, it's an absolute pleasure to
Thank
have you back on the show.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
We love talking to you, Amy, and we love hearing from you. So, you know, you're always welcome, as you know. So, for the two people that don't know you in the world.
Who are they?
Yeah.
Bring
them
here.
Yeah. One's a hermit in France. And you know, anyway, why don't you tell people what you and AM Marketing do?
Okay, so I am the managing director and founder of AM Marketing. AM Marketing is a award-winning agency based in Fruitworks in Canterbury. Lovely place that is. We specialise in digital marketing. We're full service, but digital marketing is what we really do best. We're a Google partner, and last year we were put into the top 30 UK agencies by Google as the ones to watch.
Fantastic.
And we also won a Amazon Business Award last year as well. So yeah, it's going crazy. And we do everything from websites to branding to AdWords, PPC, YouTube, video creation, you name it.
Fantastic. Cool. And as you say, you've been growing, you've been winning loads of awards. You're best known by the rest of us in the bank Ken business community for your speaking gigs. Yeah, fantastic speaker, and you always impart really interesting stuff. And you've got a few speaking gigs coming up. But give us a feel for the kind of things you've been working on non-speaking, you know, real proper work stuff.
Proper work.
Proper work stuff.
I don't do much of that.
That's no,
stuff
Brad does. I've got her there. She'll go, you need Brad for that. I'll just ring Brad and see what we're working on.
Yeah, we'll see what we're doing. We've actually been doing a lot of websites recently. What with GDPR coming up, there's been a lot of changes in Google recently, so we've had a lot of websites coming through. We had 6 sign in just last week. So what we've been working on is creating really fantastic websites that work on all devices, make sure they're loading really quickly on mobile, and they adhere to all of these new guidelines that Google have set down, and to make sure that people don't start dropping down the rankings, essentially. And that's been a big part of our business at the moment. Doing a lot of YouTube. YouTube's been great. It's one of the most cost-effective forms of digital marketing you can invest in nowadays. We're doing a lot of video for companies because a video says 1,000 words, as they say. And just having a bloody great time, to be honest. Every day is fabulous.
But there's a lot happening, isn't there, because of one thing and another. In the digital world, we're about to go through another seismic shake-up, I feel. Dear old Mark Zuckerberg, he's before a panel this morning in the US. So that's going to reap some whirlwind of change, I suspect, somewhere. And I do believe that they're in the business of pumping out emails at the moment, warning the people whose data has been harvested badly or immorally or illegally, or it's not really illegally, but immorally more than anything.
They're in the middle of the PR breakdown at the moment.
Absolutely. So that's going to bring about changes. Presumably, it's going to bring about changes to Facebook's algorithms, the way they do things, the way you interface to them, the APIs to Facebook.
Absolutely.
Twitter recently have changed their APIs as well because they were just being a nuisance and decided to annoy everybody by changing them.
And Snapchat.
Yeah, and Snapchat
and Instagram
as well.
Is
Snapchat still going?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
It won't be soon.
No, I don't like Snapchat.
No. We've never invested time in it. Never.
I love it.
Do you?
You're the reason it's still there.
She's the user. And again, as long as Bird's on it, we're staying here.
Bird and her dog.
No, we're Instagram story fans. So, go on to marketing_AM and check out our Instagram story because it is mental every day.
Right.
Do you prefer doing the story or feed? Or both?
We do both. There's so much on story that generally some of it doesn't go on to feed. Just because it would just bamboozle people. Mm. It's just too much. So we like doing stories if something happens, and then if something really important, then we'll put it permanently up.
Absolutely. It's just, it's like a lot of these things. There was a fad, wasn't there? Snapchat was really big a couple of years ago, and everybody in the world was on it.
Hold on, hold on. It's still big.
It's huge. I'll tell
it's
you what.
It's massive.
It's huge within the teenage market. Yeah. So younger kids, schools, Snapchat is absolutely massive.
Yeah.
But the thing is you would normally say in that sort of situation, invest in it early, invest in it now, and then once they get to a certain age where they're your target market, then you've invested in it early. But personally, I just don't think Snapchat's going to last that long to get to that stage.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There's loads of new things coming up, like Vero. Have you heard of Vero? Oh, my God, it's a new thing that everybody's talking about in America, so I'm, like, starting to play on it now to see, like, with Snapchat, how do you play with it, what's the use of it.
I registered an account on Vero, and then I just couldn't get to grips with it.
Me neither. I'm just struggling with it.
Yeah,
so I'm like, oh, do I want to spend my time here?
I can't work this. So,
yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah.
And that's the world we live in now. It's got to be quick. It's got to load quickly. The app has to be there and very, very responsive. If it's not, you don't try again.
Exactly. And it's got to be obvious. You know, you can't make it too obscure. Otherwise, people just go, you know, I just can't work it. I was bad enough with Instagram or whatever it was when I first started on that. I couldn't get to grips with it, but there you go. Okay, so you're working on some big things. You're doing loads of website changes at the moment. Kind of from a business point of view, talking about what you do and how you do it and all the awards you've won and all that kind of stuff, what's your thoughts about growing your business? I mean, obviously, being in digital brings changes anyway, you know, and I know because most of my businesses are digitally based businesses, and the landscape changes on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
Both from technology and from a competition point of view, because the cost of entry is quite low and people come and do things and stuff like that. So how do you see building a business in that landscape, in that environment, when that is, you know, the only constant is change, basically?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's really, really volatile. Yeah. But you just have to be, you have to have a passion for it.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting question, because we were talking about it this morning. The key is education.
Yeah.
So we have to stay constantly up to date with what's going on. We retake our Google exams every single year. Otherwise, you don't stay qualified. You don't stay a Google partner. So every single member of our team has to take like 6 exams every single year.
Right.
Because we're a partner, we get a lot of the beta testing. So then that we get to test out the stuff that's coming along. A lot of the live streams in the Google Academies, we take part in those as well. And you have to just be immersed in it 24/7.
Right.
And anything that's going on, just keep up to date. And when you start to see new things coming around, changes, you just have to get on board.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're going to be left behind really quickly.
Right. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, of course.
How do you feel when you see these people who sort of pop up from nowhere that, you know, I can do you a website, I can do this for you, I can do that for you, it's like 30 quid, you know, it's, I don't know about 30 quid, but you know what I mean? You go out and you find these people.
I've got a great story.
You see that all the time. You know, I own a web development agency as well, and you see that all the time. People with small businesses come to us and they go, oh, can you do us a website? And we'll go, yeah, it's 2 grand. And they go, no, my nephew can do that. And you go, yeah, but your nephew's just got a box of crayons, you know.
Exactly. And I always do it like a table. Like you could go to IKEA and you could get a table for 30 quid.
Yeah.
But after a while, you know, it's not going to do the best job. It probably won't be able to take much weight. It's not going to look great. It's going to be made of... I was going to swear then.
Yeah.
It's going to be made of unsuitable materials.
Absolutely. MDF was the word you were looking for there, Amy.
You could go and get somewhere, and yeah, it would be more expensive, but it made out of oak. You could probably pass it down to your children.
Yeah.
It would be a really sturdy table that you could get grips of. And it's the same with website builds. Stuff has come to us that's even been expensive, and we've had to completely get rid of it and start again.
It is that bit, isn't it, where people don't entirely understand it? So where you're sitting exams every year to make sure that you lot all stay right on top of it, or what it looks like, you know, it must be so frustrating. It's like we have the same thing with accountancy. You know, everyone's an accountant. You know, everyone knows how to do it. Why these people spend 6-7 years studying, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing, isn't it? You do get what you pay for.
Exactly. And we've actually had a client recently who decided to go to someone else because they were £500 cheaper than us. Yeah. So it wasn't a great percentage.
Yeah.
And they actually lost 32 grand in the first month that website went live because it was made so poorly. Yeah. And we've had to redo it.
Right.
Because the website was just so poor, just because of wanting to save that 500 quid. Isn't worth it.
Yeah.
If we can explore this for a moment, because it's a fundamental thing here, isn't it? Is that, we all kind of know you get what you pay for, but still so many people try to do things on the cheap. Mm. And I think, especially with things like website or anything digital, anything technical, in fact, if you're not that way inclined, I think people just feel exposed. And I think when they look at it and go, right, I need a website or I need a digital presence or I need this or I need pay-per-click or whatever it's called, whatever, they think, but I don't even know where to start and I don't know what questions to ask and I don't know how to ask the questions and therefore I feel vulnerable.
Absolutely. And we get so many people that come to us and they've been burnt in the past. Like it's a big thing. They've had money taken from them and given no results. Yeah. So it's kind of why AM marketing was founded, because we saw it happening a lot in the industry, even when in big money, when you just because you spend a lot of money doesn't mean you're going to get the results.
Yeah.
So we put a real emphasis on explaining everything to you, making sure that you're comfortable with it before you go ahead, that we then have 3-month probation periods to make sure that at the end of that, we sit down and we say, look, this is what's happened. This is what results you've got. This is what you've spent. Mm. Really, really explaining it to the clients so that they know what they're doing and what we're doing for them. And then after that, every single one of our months is a rolling contract. Yes. No, if it's not working for you, we don't want to be in that relationship with you. We don't want you to be angry with us and then we've got you like calling us for the next 8 months. It's just not right.
Yeah.
And being part, because we enter so much stuff into these awards for search and all the things that we do, we want every aspect of our work to be award winning.
Absolutely. But as a general thing outside of your fabulous agency, there is this issue with it, isn't there? Mm. It's like a number of things. I mean, if you're not experienced and you feel exposed, it's quite difficult. Mm. I guess that's why things like TripAdvisor and all that are so relevant now, is because you can get other people's experiences. Although with that, you've got to be careful as well, because you do get some stupid stuff on things like that too.
You do.
But I quite like reading some of the reviews from the people that have been dissed when they come back feisty, and they can be quite funny.
I always say respond back. If someone says something awful or like your Google review, something, you have to respond. You can't just leave it, because then people just assume
it's true. But do you want it to come in there?
No.
Okay, you changed your mind.
Well, it went.
Oh, did it? I'm sorry, darling.
That's right. No, don't feel sorry for me. No, what I was going to say was, I actually don't agree with you, Paul.
Oh, good. I like a fight.
Yeah. Well,
should we wrestle?
Well, I'm pretty fit at the minute, marathon fit. I wouldn't bother. I'm like rock hard at the minute.
Hey,
but
was that a threat?
No.
I'll get security back.
You said people want things
She's
on the cheap.
She's picking on me. Yeah.
You said people want things on the cheap. I don't necessarily agree with that. Mm. I think people don't know. Yeah. So they get this price point.
Yeah.
And they get the availability. So they're like, oh, my God. And they get this. I can do it for you. And we do this. And you're like, okay, that's done. And it's another tick. And you can go off and do what you believe is the right thing.
Absolutely.
And then it falls. It's like when somebody says to you, they're getting a divorce, and they'll say, do you know of a good solicitor? And I want to turn around and say to them, how would I know? Mm. Because I don't know until the end result has come, till the outcome has come. So it is, it's so sad. You must get to that point where it's so frustrating. So I suppose I want to hear, how can we stop that from happening more and more and more?
Yeah.
Because actually people's intentions is to get it done, because that's what we've got to do in business.
Yeah.
So it's about education. I mean, I hate the word cheap. I don't like that. I like the word good value.
Yeah.
Because cheap does entail that it is bad and nasty.
Yeah, sure.
But it is all about education. Marketing, digital marketing, it's all the dark art. It's if you've got a good salesperson that knows how to, a bit of jargon, and it's very easy to just win someone over.
Yeah.
Which is a big problem. So it is about education. It is about doing a bit of research first. Going on some proper blogs that have actually got, go on The Drum, go on Social Media Examiner, go on something that is reputable to get an idea in your head before then you start contacting people. What I would also say is, if someone is available to build your website tomorrow, that person is not who you should go with. Because it's like anything. If you think, even get, as you know, Paul, when you go to a hairdresser.
Which I do all the time.
Which you do all the time. If you ring up a hairdresser and they say, yeah, you can come in tomorrow, you think, oh, why are you available?
No, actually, you're wrong there, as far as I'm concerned. Because if I ring up my hairdresser, they go, yeah, it'll only take 2 minutes, in you come. Yeah. Number one, off you go, 10 quid.
Just because to make a serious website, you're looking at, you know, a good few weeks to get it done and make sure that you're creating something that the client can be proud with. And that's a long process. And if someone's available straight away to do that for you, that's not a good sign.
Absolutely. Right, I want to talk about something I came across a few months ago, and I couldn't believe this when I saw this statistic, and I treble-checked it, and I still don't believe it, but I checked it. The Federation of Small Business put out a report that said 76% of micro-businesses have no digital presence or website at all. Now, that's over 3.5 million businesses in the UK. That's 3.5 million businesses that don't have a website and don't have a digital presence.
I've got something to say on that one.
Yeah.
There are a lot of businesses out there, construction is a really good one for
it. It's a big one, yeah.
Where they don't actually need one.
No, they don't.
Sure. And they are word of mouth, they do their bit. A lot of them wouldn't even have Facebook. They'll work on sites, they've got all of that going on. They work almost in gangs.
Yeah.
And I think things like that really distort the figures.
Yeah.
And
what I'd
like to know is, all those companies that are growing and employing people, how many of them haven't got a web presence? Because I reckon that's quite low.
Absolutely. Well, it's certainly lower than that statistic.
I think on a percentage-wise, it's a very different story.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I think you're right, Nettie. The thing that bothers me is the in-between people.
Yep,
so the sole traders, like your local plumber, your local electrician, local plasterer, that don't have it either, because now and again they work on site.
Yeah.
But quite often they're just working around a local area.
Yeah.
Now, you're right, they get lots of work through word of mouth. But once upon a time, they would have been in Yellow Pages.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now they're not.
Yeah.
And they can go through periods of not having work because they've got no presence. Now, I'm not suggesting they should have a website necessarily, because this is one of the questions that I was kind of leading on to mention to Amy, is for a huge number of businesses, you don't actually have a use for a website any longer.
It's an online brochure, essentially.
Exactly,
If someone has been recommended to that person, or if someone finds them perhaps on their Facebook page, the website is kind of just a backup. And I know several people that haven't gone with businesses purely because they didn't have one or they didn't have a Facebook page. It's not like they needed it. It's not like it gave them any information. It's just that they wanted to see that it was available if required. Which is really bad.
Yeah.
But you can sort of understand. If you've got two companies, they've both been recommended to you, one has a website, one doesn't, you're going to go with the one that
And that's kind of what my point is with this, because I do agree with Nettie, as it happens. You know, there's a huge
every
number.
Every now and again, Paul.
Yeah, it happens every now and again. I after the show, I'm going to go for a long lay down in the dark and get over it. But for the moment, I'm agreeing with Nettie. But there's also this issue of how do you overcome that? Because it has a negative connotation, yeah? It's, well, I can't find anything about you, therefore I don't want to deal with you because you're a non-person. It's not because I want anything from it. It's because you haven't got it that's causing me grief. Now, I believe there are ways around that. And nowadays, we just all need to have some kind of digital footprint.
Absolutely, I think even in the case of, you don't need to necessarily have a website, but just having a Facebook page.
Yeah, exactly, or a LinkedIn page.
On using that as examples of, freelancers or workmen that, say, a tiler. We're looking for a tiler at the moment. We went for the guy that we could view his work on Facebook.
Yeah.
He's got a Facebook page, hasn't got a website, but I can actually see pictures of stuff he's done in the past,
exactly.
And that's what I want to see.
Exactly, and I think that's a big thing, you know. And because we put so much trust now in what other people say about people's work, you want to see some work they've done, and then you want to see the comments that are under it, and they go, nah, you know, the grout fell out after a week or whatever.
Yeah,
that's what you want to see. And for people that are kind of ignoring that, I think they're building for the future, some, you know, where their work will dry up because you know, people can't find them. And I'm not suggesting for 1 minute they have to have a website, and that's kind of the question I was asking you, which you've answered anyway, which is to say, but you need some kind of digital presence, be it Facebook or
that's
LinkedIn.
That's interesting. Yeah. It's like the Tyler, that's almost his testimonial, isn't it?
Yeah,
it was. That is.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't want to read testimonials anymore.
No.
I'm
people
done
don't
with
have
them.
The time for it.
No, I want to see.
I want to see pictures.
Exactly. And I agree with you, Nettie, and I don't agree with you. I think these companies that don't have websites and they say they don't need them because of the builders and that, I think that's fine for now. But you will get, you will be out of business in 5 years if you do not have a digital presence. That's it. It's the future. It's here. It's coming. It's only going to get bigger. It's only going to change.
You're always going to get certain industries that adopt marketing that's come through new techniques. You're always going to get certain industries that adopt it quickly.
Mm. Yeah.
And then ones that adopt it years down the line. Mm. I had a conversation with someone the other day who still referred to Facebook as the Facebook. I think, oh, right, okay.
I love that one.
I love it.
That's so cute.
Let's go back. It was almost retro. Yeah, I like it, Amy.
But in those sort of industries that that traditionally would adopt something like that later, if when we've been working with them, they've just completely dominated it because no one else and none of their other competitors are doing it.
Fair enough. Mm. Yeah. Good place to be.
Absolutely. It's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting to see how this is going to develop and unfold. A lot of my businesses are website-based businesses. That's what they are. They're portals and what have you. But outside of that application-based website, if you, for want of a better term, I keep thinking to myself, there's going to be something to replace this soon. There's got to be something that comes along to replace the need for this.
Yeah. You know what's big at the minute? Podcasts. They've taken a massive leap, more so than YouTube now. It's really interesting. There's a big shift in it because in the cars now we have Bluetooth. We can listen to the podcast. Yeah. People don't want to watch so much anymore now. Yeah. You look how people read their Facebook. Mm. It's that functionality, isn't it? You just got to stop and watch and then sort of predict a little bit how people are going to behave next year. And if they don't, then it'll come the year after.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting what's going on. Oh, I love it. Yeah. I love being wrong with it all.
It fascinates me. And I thought you were going to say what's coming next is obviously, we obviously know what's coming next, which is dog marathons. That's the next big thing.
Obviously. If you'd like a serious answer, it is definitely going to be AR, VR, and AR.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So just explain for the technically challenged out there.
So this will be augmented reality where you're mixing real life in with something on your app. So we're working on one at the moment where the kid looks through at the table. So I'm looking at the table in front of me and then I see my favourite characters pop up. Mm. And then you can interact with them while as though they are on the table in front of you.
Yeah.
Essentially, that's a sort of like nice basic AR that we're working with. Then you've got VR as well, virtual reality, where you submerge into your own world as though you are there.
Absolutely. It's fascinating. One of the things, I do a program in schools talking to kids about the future of work, and one of my favourite statistics is that currently 61% of students currently at school will do a job that hasn't yet been invented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And people go, that's a stupid statistic. How do you know what's going to happen? And you go, it's fairly predictable that something new is going to happen because it's been going like that for the last 30 years. You know, I'm of an age that somebody posted on LinkedIn the other day, does anybody know what this is? And I actually had the model before it, which was really bad, which was was the first mobile phone.
Yeah.
I had a Motorola 8000 ETAC mobile phone in 1986, and it cost me $4,000. Yeah. It was built like a brick, and you couldn't talk to anyone on it because you could never get a signal because there were only 2 masts in the entire country. But that was 30 years ago.
Mm.
In the space of 30 years, think about what mobile phones have done and they've done to industry. And one of the interesting statistics about all of this, I was reading a political website, which I try and avoid, and somebody was blathering on about, you know, the trouble with this country is we destroyed our job base back in the 70s and early 80s. You go, hold on a minute. But when the shipyards and the mines shut, we lost about 1.2 million jobs. You do realise there are 4 million people now that work in technology that didn't even exist then.
Absolutely.
You
know?
And that is just what people never recognise, is how that evolves and changes and how things come along.
I mean, what I do didn't exist when I was at university.
Exactly.
I had my first Facebook account when I first year university in 2006.
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the things that all of us have to face, I think, is the rapid pace of change, because for me, change is accelerating.
Mm.
at a pace. And because so much is digital and it's easy to invent new things and do new stuff and as you say, augmented reality and Internet of Things and all these kind of things that are coming along and what you can do. You know, somebody asked me, I said, well, okay, these jobs then, what are they going to be? And the first thing I could think of was a driverless car recovery technician.
True though, isn't it?
You know, there's going to be jobs that need doing that don't exist now because the technology doesn't exist
there. You see, that again, years ago, some of you won't remember this, but when you took your car to the garage, they lifted the bonnet, they didn't plug it into a machine.
Exactly.
They went and looked for what was wrong with it.
They had spanners and everything.
They had spanners, picks in the floor, whatever else, and that's what happened. Now you take your car in, they plug it in, they work out what's wrong with it, they change this, that and the other, and off it goes.
Yeah.
It's completely different.
You know, we, not us, not really, but...
I heard somebody old than me told me that's how it worked.
No, but I used to own a motor racing team, and it was exactly, we would have, you know, motor racing tends to develop a lot of this technology. Our car would come into the pits and we'd run up to it and plug a computer in it and reprogram the management system because we weren't running properly to change the gearbox. 5 years before that, you had to take the gearbox out and change the cogs in the gearbox. So absolutely,
it's,
you know, things change.
Moore's Law.
Exactly.
Moore's Law. Yeah. It's great. Yeah, absolutely. I love reading about it. It's so interesting.
Yeah. It's cool. So there's loads of things happening. There's loads of stuff. If you want to find out about Amy, that's really easy because she's talking at lots of things.
Everywhere.
So I'll tell you what, Amy. Why don't you reel off all the things you're talking at over the next couple of months?
Can you remember the Google calendar? No. Okay, no, I don't know. ZC Live, talking of ZC Live, Networkers Networking Event, Venues and Exhibitions Expo. I think 3XC in Ireland. Another one that I can't remember.
They'll be later in the year.
And some that haven't even been booked yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amy, what should we be looking at now? What if we've got a business and we've got a website and we're all like busy on all these different ones? Do I do Instagram? What are you saying to us now? What are you saying? Look, this is really exciting me. This is what I predict is coming.
Okay, so for me at the moment, it's all about live video. If you're not doing live video, you need to be doing live video.
Facebook Live or YouTube or...
Facebook Live and also on Instagram as well. You can do a little bit of Periscope if your people are on Twitter. That's important.
A couple of things for that. We used to do Facebook Live for the show, didn't we? And I stopped doing it because it didn't work.
I mean, it's gonna, not gonna. I'm not gonna say like 100% this thing.
I'm not having a go. I'm just.
Hold on, it did work. It did work.
No. The audio was always out of sync.
But we still had. What it still did was grab people in,
without a doubt.
But the audio didn't connect.
If the technology worked, it would have been better. Is all I'm saying. The other interesting thing, what you were saying about video, as someone that assiduously avoids video because I do have a face for radio, which is why I've done radio, I just can't get to turn. I can't. From your point of view, for someone with a business and you saying, right, you need to get into video, how do they start? What's the starting point? Do you just have a talking head? Do you just sit there and go, right, I'm going to video myself talking about my business? Is that a good way to start or a bad way to start?
It completely depends on your client base. A good point that I normally say is if you've done nothing but your competitors are doing something, have a look at what they're doing. Have a look at like the interactions that they're getting. What social media platforms are working for them? Where are the conversations happening? That's what you need to be looking at.
Really
research about what is happening in your industry and what is working. Because there's no point being on Twitter if your customers are on Facebook.
That's just
pointless. But definitely do your research about it. If you don't like being on video, find someone in your office who does. Or that you pay and can make be in front of video, or just stand really far back.
In the distance.
Yeah.
I'm here, I'm Ben Nevis.
The reason I love live video is, one, because Facebook are really pushing their Facebook Live at the moment. Therefore, it means that it's going to be pushed out to much more people organically because they want you to do it. They're encouraging you to do it. But also, you don't have to edit it. It's not you've got to sit down, okay, I need to learn how to use edit software, I need to put a watermark in the corner, I need to learn how to do this. And you don't. It's there, it's live. If you want to upload it, you do. If you don't want to upload it, you don't.
Yeah.
Simple.
It's real. Yeah. I mean, you see me, I'm there sweating on my bike, literally, and I'm talking at all at the same time, and people love it.
Yeah.
They love it. They don't care that I'm in my kitchen and that the light's not right and that I've not got my makeup on or, oh, my God, what's she saying?
I do. No, I object to that.
What, that I haven't got my makeup on?
Yeah, I object.
That's what made an effort today.
Oh, no, not again.
Bird's not got her thing on. You know, and I started off really nervous and now you just, but you just got to do it.
Yeah.
You but it isn't for everybody as well.
It's not, no. But once you do the couple, as you say, you just got to do it. You've got to jump in. And once you've done a couple, you really do ease into it. You start getting a following and people are greedy. They don't want pre-created content that you've made on an app. They want real gritty VIP behind the scenes. Absolutely. That's what they're after.
Absolutely. Chaotic radio. That's what they need.
Yeah.
That's what we've been called today. And nicely done. I tell you what I get loads of feedback from is doing my own social media and writing my own emails rather than it being automatic. Now people have lost the love for automating.
Absolutely. And that's more, and also Instagram's just changed recently. So no third parties will be able to connect to Instagram. You know, you get those stupid comments that you say, great, love this, follow me, that are clearly automatic and instantly posted. It's not a real person. That is going to change now.
Right. Yeah.
So that's fantastic for Instagram. I'm so
happy
about that.
So you have to work at this now.
You can actually do the ads.
Yeah. I love it.
Amy, it's a pleasure as always to talk
always
to you.
A pleasure to be
Thank
here.
You so much. You can hear Amy next, I think, at the
Everywhere.
Networkers networking event on the 17th of May. For the moment, Amy, thank you so much. If people want to find out more about you before then, what's the best way? What's your website? What's your social media?
www.worldwideweb.
Oh, thank you, Annette. No ammarketing.co.uk. We are on Twitter and Instagram at marketing_AM. Some fabulous Insta stories every day. I hope that you like them. And we're on Facebook as well.
Fantastic. Amy, thank you so much for joining us.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.